My scripture reading is in Psalms 31 and starting at verse 9. Psalms 31 and verse 9. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted away from grief. My soul and my body also, for my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength is failed because of my iniquity, and my body has wasted away. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I am forgotten as a dead man. Out of mind, I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Terror is on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they schemed to take away my life. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for each one that's here. And Lord, we thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day that you've given us to come and remember your creative works. And the Lord, to be here not only to seek your help, but to give thanks for all of the things that you've done for us in the past. And Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on these that are here and on their families and loved ones. And Lord, the ones that are not here today, Lord, we ask you to let them feel your Holy Spirit. And wherever they're at and whatever they're doing, Lord, let them know that they have a God that truly cares for them and is interested in everything that they're doing and anything that happens to them in their life. And Lord, we thank you for that love and concern that you have for us. Bless the thoughts that we will express, Lord, and bless the rest of this service. And in your name we ask, and amen. My text is 14th of Psalms 31. And let's look at that. Psalms 31 and verse 13. For I have heard the slander of many. Terror is on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they schemed to take away my life. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. It's interesting that we had the Torah we heard the word slander in that the people of Israel, as they were delivered from God out of slavery and were on their journey and came to the point in which they were totally dissatisfied with being where they were and what they were doing and the circumstances that they were under. And so, in essence, they started to complain. They started to slander and against Moses. The title of my message to you today is Facing Our Fears. Do you have fear in your life now? Have you ever went through periods of your life in which it seemed that fear was prevalent your thoughts were negative. It seemed that you couldn't find any peace and contentment in your life. All of us have went through periods like that, and very likely we'll go through periods again. When you think about fear, I'm reminded of the verse in the Bible. Do you remember the verse that says, perfect love casteth out fear? Where love is prevalent, fear cannot abide. Fear cannot prevail. So we think, obviously, we need to get more and have more love in our life. When you think about fear, do you know that a person can become so fearful at times under different situations and events that fear literally paralyzes? Fear can paralyze your thoughts, and fear can paralyze your action. When you are paralyzed by negative thoughts and the thought of negative outcomes, naturally, very little action gets taken. You are paralyzed. You're afraid to go here, afraid to do this, afraid to say that, because of what might be the outcome. Because your mind is telling you it's going to be negative. So fear is something that we need to learn to face. And many people right now are in the clutches and the grips, the paralyzing effect of fear. Perhaps it's starting, perhaps it's well on its way, and perhaps the person is just totally almost inact because of that grip that fear has on them. You know, today, the world seems to have fear on every hand. At every turn, in almost everything that you see, there is fear prevalent. Political instability, economic uncertainty, the prospects of worldwide nuclear, biological, or chemical holocaust. These things literally hold the nations of this planet in constant fear. And you know what I'm saying is true. Everybody is apprehensive now because of all of these reasons. The economy, jobs, the presidential election. What if a certain one what's going to happen to not only this nation, but to the world? Because everything that happens seemingly, particularly in the United States, seems to affect what's going on the whole world. What are some of the things that we fear most? Obviously, right at the top of the list is death. David, King David, as he was a king, You read, you heard the words that I read to you, that David wrote of his life at that particular time. Sounded much like an ordinary person, didn't it? Not a king. But he was apprehensive. He had anxiety. It seemed as if he was in a paralyzing grip of negative thoughts about his circumstances, about his acquaintances, about even his friends. Shakespeare wrote these words, "Death is the undiscovered country from whose born no traveler returns." Death was feared in the ancient world just as it is today. In Canaanite literature, Baal was given an additional weapon with which to battle death. And fear, obviously, was no stranger to King David. But you have to think about David's point in time. The Messiah had not yet come. David, King David didn't know what it was like to have had the writings and people talk about Yeshua here on this earth. And particularly the writings that says that we have victory over death in our belief and through the eternal plan of Yahweh, through the death of His only begotten Son, Yeshua, shedding His blood as that perfect sacrificial lamb, paying the penalty once and for all, no longer having to sacrifice animals and birds for our sins, paying the penalty of sin. But King David didn't have the knowledge of salvation and of Yeshua shedding His blood so that we could ask forgiveness of Yahweh for our sins, as we do. But still, an individual without Christ frightfully fears life's termination. Not only did David fear death, but he also obviously suffered a great deal of anxiety. And I would say the way the descriptions are, exhaustion, very likely. I think you can relate to that. If you're in the grips of fear, does it not literally take your strength away from you, mentally and physically? When you're depressed, when you're fearful, when you're apprehensive, when all of your thoughts seem to be negative about what's going on in your life, fear takes a priority that it never should in the Christian life. Get more love. Get more God. When they prevail in your heart and in your life, these negative thoughts have to flee. Satan has to leave. He's the one behind all of this fear, all of this deception, distortion of truth. Satan is behind it. We need to call on Yahweh and Yeshua, that Satan has to leave wherever we are. He has to get out of our life. And when we have fear, when it even starts to enter into our thinking, that's what we need to do. We need to call on Yahweh. God, help us. Deliver us from Satan. And of course he does, and he has. But we're human. We have to remind ourselves. We have to not allow Satan into our life and circumstances and events. So just as David, we can be overwhelmed by life and circumstances and family. Everything that's going on in our life, we can be overwhelmed by it. And just as he was, we can be under his grips and exhausted, suffer the consequences of exhaustion and depression. David suggested in the words that I read to you that his strength had failed. The word comes from a term that means to stumble. Negative thoughts had taken hold. He was feeling bad even when he was out in the community. Even when he seen his friends, his thoughts even were not positive. So exhaustion and depression, as well as death, can become some of the things that we fear the most, and the consequences of the fear that we allow in our life at times. Another that David underwent too is criticism. In essence, our Torah portion this morning was about that. Not being satisfied, not being content with whatever situation that you were in, just as the children of Israel. And so criticism, wanting what you think you need to make your present life better, relieve the pressure. David feared slander or criticism. The thought of people gossiping, whispering, backbiting, it terrified him. One may fear what others say, but life cannot be lived in fear. And David had to learn this lesson. He discovered, in essence, that he had to learn how to overcome fear. So, how is it that we can go about not allowing fear in our life, not allowing fear to overcome us? One of the primary ways is reflecting back on your life before fear prevailed and asking yourself, what was different then? What was I like? What were my thoughts like when I was positive? When I was happy? When I was content? When I felt a real purpose in life? What was prevalent then? What was different? And one of those was trust. David said in verse 14, I trusted in thee. David was talking about God. David's thoughts perhaps had turned to his individual personal circumstances, and all of these negative thoughts then did what? They crowded out the positive. They crowded out thoughts, good thoughts of God, of trust in God. I trusted in thee. And out of his fear, he cried out to God. And when you really think about it, when God has had first priority in your life, when your thoughts was on God and you had total trust that he had you in the palm of his hands and your circumstances was in his hand as to the outcome of what was going on in your life, you had a great deal of joy and satisfaction and contentment, just like David. When God becomes first priority, our fears seem to dissipate. They just go away. You know one thing it is? When you're thinking so strong about all of the good that God has brought to you in your life, and you thinking about those positive times, it crowds out the fear. You replace fear with trust. Trust in God and his love and care and concern for us. Belief in the future is key only when you let God again become priority one in your life. Put God first. Don't you see that that is the way to happiness and content? And when we start dwelling on our own self and our own problems and our own circumstances and what life seems to be bringing to us, and all we can think of is the negatives that's coming our way, that's what's doing us in. It's replacing God and love and happiness. Do you want to overcome fear in your life? Then trust God. What about confession? I'd say that's pretty important. Human beings come sort of short almost every day of their life. Seems even perhaps the best of Christians still find that they have to go to their altar and call out on Almighty God to deliver them, to help them, provide needs. David trusted God and confessed his commitment to God by saying, "Thou art my God." Reaffirm that with Yahweh as David did. You are my Father. You deliver me. You sustain me. You provide my needs. I trust in you. I will again make you priority one. 1 John 4:15 teaches us that whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in them, and he in God. Again, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Put your thoughts back positive. Put your thoughts back on God, where they were when you were most content and happy, if you really think about it. Recover a sense of praise in your confession. When you think of God and have your trust in God, It should never be a one-sided thing where you're always constantly asking for something, asking for a need or deliverance or whatever. Along with that, you should also be thinking, thank you, God, for the things you've done for me in sustaining me and providing me to this point in my life. Think about those things that God has done for you and has already given to you and providing for you each and every day of your life. Praise should be spontaneous. It should be no effort, except for you to just think of who it is that provides for you, who it is that delivers you, provides your needs. Just spontaneous and contagious of your praises and thanks to God for all He's done. When you see something in nature of great beauty, perhaps on a vacation, you come back home, you can't wait to tell somebody about it. You want to share the beauty that you've seen and experienced. And so it should be when God does something for you and you have such praise for Him of what it was that He done. Let someone know how God provides for you. What about commitment? David delivered a final truth about overcoming fear. He wrote in verse 15, and think about this. My times are in your hand. David said that to God, even after he expressed was really heavy on his heart and mind. Then he turned back to God. His thoughts turned to God. His trust turned to God. And he said and reminded God, I know that my times are in your hand. You have me in your care. You have the things that trouble me prevalent in your mind. I know that. My life is in your hand. My times are in your hand. Literally, David said that his future, his life, all that he was doing, he was letting God know that he knew that his future rested in Him. Because Yahweh was his Father. And he knew that he was Yahweh's son. And so it is with us. We are sons and daughters of the Almighty, one and only God of old, Yahweh of old. And he referred in saying, my times are in your hands, he was talking about literally. He wasn't referring to eternal life by saying, my times are in your hand, but he was talking more of his life here on earth, his circumstances, the things that was weighing heavy on his heart and mind at that particular moment. He's referring to the natural, growing up as a child and being God taken care of him, looking out for him so that his even his toes would not be hurt by stumbling against a stone. That kind of concern and love and care that God has for each one of his children. And David knew that God had it for him. He implied that we may overcome the fear of living. And he suggested that we may use our fears. So, when you are afraid, when fear begins to become too prevalent in your thoughts and in your minds, then remember to pray. Remember to go back to the source of the most love that anyone ever has for you, and that is your Father God. Remember Him. Pray. And then serve. Be of service to God. Be of service to your brothers and sisters in the church. And work. Take action. Don't let fear paralyze you. Get fear out of your life, and the paralysis will take care of itself. Pray, serve, and work. That'll get fear moving out, I guarantee. Put your fears to work. And you know one other little thing that I've found that works whenever you're perhaps beginning to be depressed or fearful? Negative thoughts too prevalent in your mind? One other little thing that helps a lot? Exercise. I guarantee you, it works. These things will replace fear. Fear will begin to move out when these things are corrected and the good things move in and the positive thoughts move into your mind. Give your mind a rest. Exercise. It'll give your mind a rest because it'll sometimes put your body in a little bit of hurt. And then your thoughts won't be on whatever the negative part is. It'll be on a little bit of soreness. But it'll feel good. The net result will be fear will be replaced. God will become more prevalent. Today, parents with young children naturally worry about their future. And I think all of us can see how that is a concern, particularly in today's environment. What is the future going to hold, not only for ourselves, but sometimes our grandchildren and our children? What is it going to be like for them 10 years, 20 years from now? But you know, we can put them in God's hands just like we are in God's hands. And that's what we're supposed to do. Bring up our children in the way of the Lord. Teach them the ways of the Lord. Teach them His laws and His requirements. What He wants of us, how He wants us to live our life. Teach them. Nurture your children with these things. And we need to think and know that too often our fears are only imaginary. So we need to think about that. Give thought to that. Whether our fears really have basis, foundation, or whether they're just something that we're letting our mind get overwhelmed with and placing too much emphasis on, perhaps. Some enemies are real and some are imagined. We must face with God's help, and He will help us and deliver us with those things that are not imagined. But the enemies that we create are the ones that we must learn to overcome. just as they begun to overcome us and become too prevalent and change our thoughts from positive into negative, then we must realize this as soon as possible and then take these actions to overcome fear. Remember God and His love for us. I'd like to wish everyone a great and happy Shabbat Shalom. Let God's peace and His love prevail on this wonderful Sabbath that He has given us to rest and to reflect on all the good that He has for us, both in the past and in the present, and all of that good that's going to come as we remain His sons and daughters. Let's all stand to our feet and let's read His blessing to us and our blessing to each other. Let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen and amen.